Hello again, everyone. Chris Matthew with Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm in Laughlin, Nevada at the Laughlin UFO Mega Conference. We're having an amazing time here, and I am here with Nicole Sackridge. How are you doing?
Doing well. So nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you. She is one of the awesome presenters here at the conference. She had an amazing presentation, amazing experiences throughout your life, and you've been working with Greg Cameron lately, right?
Yes.
Now, what brought you to work with him?
Really, kind of a series of synchronicities. I pointed out when I was at the podium, I had kind of had a brief friendship with Jim Peniston, and Jim had just left a conference here at Laughlin with Grant, and they had talked after their lectures and briefings, and it was Jim that first told me that I should track down Grant Cameron and dive into some of his research. And then it was Peniston's researcher that works for him that we started playing this music research game together. And then that was like my second little synchronicity. Get a hold of Grant Cameron. He wrote a book on this. And then when Grant made a post about flying dreams, out-of-body experiences, and he was asking people to get a hold of him for interviews, and that's kind of how it started.
That's awesome.
And 2 months later, he got back to me, and we did that interview, and he kind of took me under his wing from that point.
Very cool. He
asked me to join in looking at the Stanton Friedman files, and then now it's just been, he calls it the Super Bowl. Welcome to the Super Bowl.
Yes,
so,
the Super Bowl. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if I'm on special teams, if I'm the kicker, or if I'm the quarterback.
It's kind of hard to figure out where you are on these days. Now, this was your first presentation ever?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, how do you think it went for you?
It was a blur, but I kept smiling, so I think it went well.
it was a great presentation.
It felt nice.
Yes. Now, I thought something interesting that you were talking about that I'd like to discuss a little bit. You were talking about contactee or experience or symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've had some experiences myself, and it kind of perked my interest when you said that because I've had some of those symptoms myself. Could you kind of explain, you know, for the audience, that's not, you know, what those are?
Well, my personal ones that I've learned about, I always thought it was anxiety, and I even spoke with my doctor about this several times. Like, I thought I was having panic attacks, but I really couldn't source where the panic came from or what my anxiety was over. And I tried medications for it, and it seemed to not get anywhere. So after kind of giving up on the medication route of things, that's when I started talking to other experiencers and realizing that they were having similar symptoms as well. And a lot of that would be a tone change, or you'd hear a tone, a specific tone maybe that would fade. Or like with me, I sometimes hear music, but it's always kind of starts with that anxiety. And then I get like the compulsion to go to my viewing spot where I had my sighting. Or it's little things like that, just paying attention to your own body sensations, you know, instead of blowing them off. Like I said in my presentation, oh, that happens, or oh, that's this, or it'll pass. It was really, I think the symptoms start because they want you to pay attention.
Yes, exactly.
Along with, I it's not a physical symptom, but the numbers seem to start. And
numbers, synchronicities.
I kind of look at the numbers as affirmations, like that I'm paying attention, and yes, you know, maybe in sync a little bit with what's happening.
So, yes, I can definitely relate to that. I always got to pay attention to the numbers and the synchronicities.
Weirdness
that happens.
I get 555-333 and either 111 or 1111 almost daily now.
Yeah, so. Now, you had an incredible sort of out-of-body experience during a surgical procedure. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that, because it was such an incredible experience.
Well, When I have talked with other experiencers of a near-death experience or an out-of-body experience, a lot of times the first time it happens, there's fear involved with it, or where am I, or what's going on. What I took away from my experience is it felt so familiar. I didn't feel like I was out of my element. I felt like I was back where I've been before, which I equate it to that same feeling I had from my first sighting and the pause that I felt. Like, that was just that sensation. And some of the similarities with other experiencers, you know, it's, we described that moment where we felt like we knew everything or we had all the answers, and it's an overwhelming joy, and you feel the connectedness. And I've always referred to it as the oneness. That was the first time I felt the oneness, and it was joy.
Yeah, I had that exact same feeling. That's the only thing where you can just, like, pure joy, pure acceptance, pure love. Mm-hmm. Now, were all of your experiences, even paranormal experiences, were they all positive?
I did have what I would call a scarier paranormal experience, and that's, I lived in St. Louis at the time with a roommate, and we kept hearing things in our apartment, and we thought it was whoever lived above us. Then after a while, we found out that nobody lived above us, and we had this neighbor that lived across the hall. His name was Lee, but we called him our Kramer because he would always kind of like come into our apartment. Well, we had this crazy idea once that we wanted to find out if this was a ghost that we were hearing, footsteps. And I kept having my closet door at like 2 a.m., which was a big, thick, heavy, latchable, old, like 100-year-old door. I could hang off of it when it was closed, like pull back and it wouldn't open. Every evening or every night around 2:30, it would go and just open like this much. That's just weird. So we get this brilliant idea one night to make our own Ouija board. And Lee, Kramer Lee from across the hall, provided our pointer. He had this old envelope opener that had like a magnifier in it. So we used that as our pointer. Well, it was just the three of us playing. Two of us would take turns on the pointer, and one of us would write whatever letters were coming up. Well, it became pretty apparent that we were in touch with something. You know, we did, it's you, no, it's not you, you know, that whole scenario. But then we actually started getting answers back to the questions. And throughout the course of the next couple hours, we think we talked with two spirits. One was a lady, and she said she was kind of in all the buildings in the area. But the one that was opening my closet door just thought it was funny. Just thought it was funny because I noticed it. And so we're talking back and forth between a couple of them. And then the lady said that the one that stomped on the floor didn't like my roommate. He was a mean boy. And that kind of scared us a little bit. And then she said the one that opens my closet door just thinks it's funny and does things because he wants to get noticed. Well, I told her to ask the one that opened my closet to stop because it woke me up. It bothered me. I didn't want it to happen anymore. And she said he was a little upset with that. And I said, well, he can just get over it, you know. I just don't want this to happen anymore. And she said, well, he wants to give you guys a goodbye present. And my roommate happened to play drums. And instead of a dining room, we had a drum set up in our dining room. And we were in the living room, which was about 20 feet away. And the drum set started. And I jumped up. My roommate jumped up. Lee's like halfway at the door running back to his apartment. And I just screamed into the apartment, this is done. We're done. No more. Thank you, but we're done. And we took the Ouija board that we had made like out of a piece of cardboard, took it out to the dumpster out back, gave Leah's pointer back, and it honestly didn't scare me, but it creeped me out. And within the next month is when I got engaged to my husband and we moved to Chicago, and I kind of felt like it was a push. Yeah. It was like, you're not supposed to be here. Move along. And honestly, if I wouldn't have had that spooky experience, I wouldn't have been where I needed to be to get the cancer treatment that I received.
It's so funny how many major things in life, especially even for me, that these weird paranormal experiences kind of push you through it.
You know? And that was, you know, I always kept ufology and the paranormal separate for so long until it started clicking that it's coming from the same place, or it's all connected. Interact in the ether is one way to put it.
That's what I love about this conference, is bringing it all together.
Yeah,
the experiencers, absolutely. The scientists, the nuts and bolts people, bringing it all together.
And there's so much knowledge here, and everybody's so friendly, so you can just
It's great. Great community here. Now, before I let you go, I want to get your thoughts on, of course, the big mainstream UFO bonanza that's going
Disclosure.
On.
Disclosure.
Disclosure. Yeah. you know, it seems like in some angles they're trying to paint it as a threat. Of course, I don't trust a lot of stuff coming out of the media or from our own government, of course. But I'd like to get your take on it. What do you think is happening behind the scenes? It seems very rushed in an odd time, you know?
It's exciting. I will say, over everything, exciting times. I mean, I was kind of late to the party in the 90s. I was in high school when, like, the citizens disclosure movement was happening. And I hear people talk about that time frame and comparing it to now and the similarities. But then, you know, to know that there's players added to the team now, like Mr. Sheehan joining this disclosure battle, and Lou coming forward and still fighting the good fight. And, you know, lots of people, and we think it's funny in our disclosure panels where we talk about this, you know, Tom DeLonge, of course, has been like, I started this, TTSA, it's all us. Which is true. I like giving credit to Tom and TTSA. But I also like giving credit to this current climate. I like giving credit to ancient aliens. You know, I mean, talk about getting something into mainstream conversation, you know, in more of a outside of that military box. So, and I love the current climate. I love what's going on. We've got articles coming out every day. Ufology is in mainstream media. More forces to the cause. But I'm still holding back. You know, not all the eggs are in the basket. I do remember that we've been in these situations before, and we've had the rug pulled out from underneath us.
Yeah.
So I'm very hopeful, but I also know this is a baby step. Then there are parts of me that I fall back on the experiencer side, and I already have that personal validation. But it would be nice to get it from those in the powers of me. You know, I do think experiencers are going to push this forward. It's not going to be a government. It's not going to be Biden at the podium.
Yeah.
It's going to be people like here at this conference that are moving this forward, civilians out of the military, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree. We live in fascinating times. Yep. We live in exciting times. Nicole, I want to thank you so much
for taking the time.
Will you be here all week?
I will. Yep.
Awesome. Well, enjoy the rest of the conference.
I know. Now the rest is just fun.
Yes,
so.
Just fun times. All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. Guys, come out to the conference. We still got 6 more days of this amazing thing. So I want to see you here.